You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, our final hour, and this is going to be an all-Gator hour. We have Chris Doering on at the bottom of the hour. Our guest right now knows a little bit about him. And I'm talking about Steve Spurrier joining us here, and it is always great to welcome the head ball coach. Guys, how about this guy?
The guy's here. Yeah.
Only the greatest coach in Florida history, but that no big deal.
I'm the ambassador now. So
you are.
I'm bragging about we're number five academically. If we can beat Alabama tomorrow, we can be number five in the nation in football, right? If we can.
Scott Strickland on earlier, and he was bragging. But I will tell you, when Coach Spurrier was the head coach at the University of Florida, he didn't want to be number five. I can assure you of that.
Well, from 11 to 5, though.
A little higher than that. Yeah. It's great to see you. And I detect a lot of optimism from you about this Gator team.
You know, it's a number one team hadn't been here since FSU, I think, in 97.
Right.
And they said an SEC team number one. LSU was here in 59 with Billy Cannon and the Chinese Bandits and all that. And that's the last time anybody can remember a number one team coming in. And I know Alabama's used to it because they carry it everywhere they go. But historically, we play them once every 10 years or twice every 10 years. So there's a buzz, and whether or not we can do it, time will tell. But there's a sense we got a chance.
Well, it's never stopped. It hasn't stopped you from predicting it, though, has it?
No, I got to predict the Gators. Now, I'm not betting on it, but I'm predicting that Florida's got a chance to come out a winner. Got to play extremely well. Hope Alabama maybe has a little bit of off day, similar to the day in Columbia.
Oh, here we go again.
11 years ago, right?
I mean, I
you were there that day.
Yeah, I was there, and I've had many encounters with you over the years, and they've all been great.
Yeah.
But on this Friday before the Saturday in Columbia, I was on Dan Patrick's show, who at the time had the top radio show on in the country. And Darius Rucker had just been on blabbing about how the Gamecocks were going to beat Alabama. And Patrick asked me, he said, you just heard Darius Rucker on. He said, what chance do you give – Alabama losing to South Carolina? I said, zero, zip. They have no chance. So the next day, I'm in Columbia. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Steve Spurrier fan, so I didn't care about the prediction, but I was going to make sure I stuck around. And after you did the interview with Aaron Andrews, and I walked up, I didn't know. I just said, Coach, congratulations. She said, man, that was some prediction you had there yesterday. And I'm like going, it never ends with this guy.
Well, I was watching the pregame, and I saw Herbstreit pick us. And I said, he's stepping out on a limb a little bit. But, you know, we had the week off before, and we did a lot of just some new little stuff here and there. Stephen Garcia had the game of his life. He played like a Heisman winner. And Lattimore, three touchdowns, Alshon a couple, and our defense was real good. But Alabama didn't play well that day. I saw Mark Ingram later. The year before, he rushed for about 200-and-something yards against us in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Coach, I got five carries that day, five or six, something like that. And Trent Richardson only got five or six. And McElroy went back to pass a whole bunch of times, and we got seven sacks that day. So all of that, they didn't have a good game, and we had a near-perfect game. That's how you pull a big upset.
So, let's take it to tomorrow. And, Alabama walks in, and you've been there. I mean, when the Gators used to show up when you were there, we all expected you to win and win big, and you did.
Not always.
What's if you get to the playing field tomorrow, what does Florida do? What do they have to do?
Well, first of all, don't beat yourself. Don't have real stupid, careless turnovers that may lead to a touchdown. Make the other team earn their points, and hopefully we can stay on the field a while. You know, we beat Alabama 10, 11 years ago. There was only about 8 or 9 possessions each team. So each team could, and I think we only punted maybe twice, once during the game and one at the end. So we punted twice, and so it was a fast game. It wasn't a long, you know, 3-and-punt. It wasn't one of those kind of things. So if we can do that and keep it close and then maybe a big play will happen in the second half or fourth quarter. And just believe, though. We got to believe we can play with these guys. That's the first thing. And I think Coach Mullen and the team actually believes we can play with these guys. If we're going to beat them, we got to play better than them. And that would be the key.
The public loves to talk about quarterbacks. And mm-hmm. you know, playing two quarterbacks wasn't a big deal with you. I mean, I was down here for a game once, and I got dizzy watching the quarterbacks come and go because you were changing them every play, weren't you, at one point?
Well, in 97, we did that one game here, and then we did it in the bowl game. But after that, it sort of goes out of style after one or two games, and you try to get your best guy in there.
And that's not what we expect tomorrow, but how would you evaluate, you know, first of all, Emery is, you know, undeserving probably of all the criticism, but that's just the way it goes. And you got a guy named Anthony Richardson that everybody's in love with, although he hasn't really seen a great team yet. You'll see one tomorrow.
We're all waiting to see how it goes tomorrow. The first two games, sort of down the line teams a little bit, Florida, Atlantic, and then South Florida. So Coach Mullen could play him. Are you going to play here? You're going to play here, and away we go. Now tomorrow, when the game's definitely on the line, middle of the first quarter, second quarter, we'll see who plays the most. And then that may be a decision will be made a little sooner.
When you're playing a team like Alabama, Coach, and we know they have an elite defense, and we'll get to their offense in a second, you don't want to waste the crowd. Is there a method to the madness of trying to do something quickly, or do you want to wait and see the tempo of the game?
No, I think we got to come play. We got to call our game plan and let it go. And try to stay on the field, move the ball, try to score. So. You only have so many opportunities. You don't want to be one of those guys that run 3 and punt, and then next thing you look up, you're down 14-0. So no, we got to come to the ballpark ready to try to score.
I want to talk about Dan Mullen for a second because everyone knows that he spent all that time working under Urban Meyer, but I swear I'm just a observer. He reminds me in some ways of Steve Spurrier because. Now, there are a lot of characteristics on and off the field. How do you?
Well, he's an offensive coach, calls the plays. He's got a quarterback coach, but he sort of works with them and the receivers also. And he's an offensive guy the way I did it. He left here, I think, after the 2009 season, and it sort of went kaput with Coach Meyer and the team in that 2010 season. So he was definitely a key to those national champ, SEC championship teams they had in 6 and 8. Yeah, Dan Mullen's a big part of that.
Is there anything about his style? Because I mean obviously different eras, not that different, but he does have your swagger though.
Yeah, and he likes to run the ball as well as throw the ball. Yeah. It's a mixture, and a lot of people. They called our offense fun and gun. I never liked that because we won the game with Eric Rett and Fred Taylor and them guys running the ball in the third, fourth quarter and so forth. So we tried to mix it up, and that's what Dan loves to do also.
You're one of the few coaches who have had success against Nick Saban. I mean, there are not many.
Well, when he was at LSU now, he wasn't known as the greatest ever. He was known as a good coach on the way. But I tell you what he did. In 2001, we beat him pretty good at their place, 44-15. But they came back and won the SEC that year.
They sure did.
Because we lost to Tennessee, and they won their division and beat Tennessee in the SEC championship game. So sort of after that, he took off and won a national championship there and then – NFL a year or two and then into Alabama.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We had this conversation last week, not to belabor the point, where it was on 9/11 last Saturday, and I made the argument that, if, again, you can't undo history, but if games had been played that day, you obviously would have won that day, really had a – I mean, it was almost –
they had a couple of defensive guys hurt,
right.
I think.
Right.
But Travis Stevens ran for 225 yards against us that night in the Swamp, and we had a two-point play that we didn't hit. We had our chances, and we had to kick a bunch of little field goals, and we didn't play our best, and Tennessee beat us, and give them credit. And then LSU beat them for the SEC a week later.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking to Coach Steve Spurrier, I want to ask you about South Carolina for a second, because the Gamecocks have tried to come back a lot since you left, and fans down there are pretty upbeat about Shane Beamer.
Yeah.
He was your guy during your incredible run there. What are your thoughts on?
Yeah, Shane's brought a lot of enthusiasm. He's saying all the right things. Seems like the players all love each other, which is something you got to have going. He's got to have some real strong recruiting classes or strong portal classes. You know, you have recruiting, then you have the portal to get your players nowadays. So you can get very good quickly. We've been talking about that, how it's leveled the talent a lot, because if a guy's not a starter, he goes into the portal and goes somewhere and becomes a starter. So can South Carolina, get a bunch of guys that can really play here in next year or two? So that's part of it also.
What about Georgia? Because I know JT Daniels was hurt last week, and you know, you play Clemson, you're just trying to win the game, you're not trying to do anything other than that, but how would you describe the identity of this offense so far through 2 weeks?
Stetson Bennett, what did he throw, 4 or 5 touchdowns last week? So he looked pretty doggone good, and I don't know who they'll play tomorrow. Bennett's a pretty good player if JT Daniels can't play. But their defense is so good, so that would carry them a long way, I would guess.
Let me circle back before you go about this game tomorrow. And in terms of Alabama, we've seen runs. You were part of a run here that none of us really had seen before. You had one in South Carolina, but this run's been percolating for a long time. I'm curious. Nick Saban turns 70 years old in 4 weeks. Where is this program right now, and just things that you have been a part of at Florida and have seen in college football?
Alabama, you talking about?
We haven't seen many runs like this.
No, I think Nick Saban can go 5 or more years because he's in good health. He loves coaching. That's what he wants to do. And, he told me one time, he said, what else would I do if I'm not coaching? And I love what I'm doing. He's in good health. And, as long as they recruit and win all the time, coaching is fun. But if he ever loses 3 games, I said, if you ever lose 3 games in a season, you'll start thinking, what am I doing? And he said, yeah, if we ever lose 3 in a year, I'd be in trouble a little bit. But I think he's got a lot more years.
You don't really think you competed against Bobby Bowden. He he coached Paterno, and these guys coached mm-hmm. you know, 70s into the 80s. You don't think it's the actual number that
no.
really
it,
okay.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So when you lose a couple of games, how is it different at 70 than at 50 or 60?
Well, you just think you're sort of at the end of the line if your team's not very good.
Okay.
And do you want to stay there and try to fight it out and bring them back? And certainly I didn't want to do that at South Carolina. I was finished at South Carolina when I left. But then I coached, you know, in that spring football league,
yeah, no,
which was a lot of fun.
Because you were great.
Yeah. I mean, it was a 3-month job, 3 or 4 months. Your team against those guys, let's go try to beat them.
So the coaching part doesn't matter. It's just all the
other. Extra part with it. Yeah, but Nick does a good job. He's got tremendous support staff around him and so forth. And he loves all of it. So I really think he's got a lot more years. Really do.
That is so interesting to hear because, I mean, and there aren't many people to ask this question too, but because you've experienced it. And I don't know. We all fixate on age. That's just part of life. But I mean, you can see him going 75 or above.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he, you know, he's not a figurehead over there either. He's yelling and screaming at everybody. He knows what's going on. Some of the older coaches, you know, were more figurehead coaches and so forth. But yeah, he's in the game. He's in the game and makes a lot of decisions. So. That's what he loves doing, and he's good at it, obviously. Pretty good at it. Yeah.
That comes from one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen. So by the way, we talked to you last time. I know you're an entrepreneur now. You got a restaurant, and I'm told this isn't – you're not a figurehead at that restaurant either. You show up.
Yeah, I show up a little bit.
When people go to a restaurant that has your name, they want to see you, don't they?
Well, they know I'm not going to be there every night, but I go in for, you know, 20, 30 minutes and take a few pictures. I'm a lot better at pictures than autographs. I tell them, pictures only now. Come on, let's go. So I enjoy it over there. And we got good people. It's a lot of fun. We got a whole bunch of former players that come in occasionally. Chris Doering and Danny Werfel is going to be here next week. Really looking forward to next week, Paul. We got our 95 and 96 teams coming back for a reunion. And, you know, the 95 and 96 team both went 9-0 in SEC play, back-to-back conference champs. One won the national and one got beaten the national. So those are two of the best teams in school history. And really looking forward to seeing those guys next week when your old school, Tennessee, comes in.
Yeah, no. I would say you've had some amazing accomplishments, but I still think the fact that Peyton Manning never beat you, as great as his teams were, is one of the most interesting.
You know, now that's they just when they played us, they'd have fumbles, they'd have interceptions, they had all kind of stuff. And then after he left, we go up there, we fumble into the end zone, we have to kick a field goal, and we lose to them, and they played better than us.
I think won the national championship.
Yeah, they won a national championship.
Just, I mean, I remember being down here one of those weeks for that game, it's always a great rivalry, but I can't remember a time when that rivalry meant more than during that stretch.
Yeah, it was one of those things that, and you know, we'd beat Clemson 5 years in a row at South Carolina.
I do remember
that. And they would play the same way. They would fumble. They'd throw interceptions. They'd get penalties here, there, and the other. And I don't know if they're trying too hard or what happens, but sometimes you get on a jinx or a run. Like these guys have beaten us 2 or 3 years in a row, and you don't play your normal game. You press. I don't know what it is. Fortunately, I haven't lost 5 in a row to anybody, so I don't know how it feels, but it can make you do things you're not used to.
I bet
doing.
You're right. Yeah. Anyway, Coach, it you know how I feel about you. It's always great to see you.
Good to be on.
What a
with
pleasure.
You. All right,
Steve Spurrier joining us right here in Gainesville, and we are going to take a break. Much more to come. Chris Doering will join us in a few minutes. One of his best players.
All right,
we're coming right back.
All right, Gators.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. What a great conversation with the HBC. We've had quite an afternoon here. Tim Tebow and Steve Spurrier. We just missed Danny Werfel. We would have had the trifecta of Heisman Trophy winners from the University of Florida. We still have Chris Doering coming up next. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7000. 1-800-285-2285. Catherine is calling next. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What an exciting and fun afternoon for us to be sitting here watching you in Gainesville and wonderful interviews. You look
so
relaxed and so happy to be back on campus. It's really great. And I feel like us Gator fans are having our own private pep rally. So it's
I did have the honor once, Catherine, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago in Jacksonville. I sat on the set with Spurrier, Tebow, and Danny Werfel. And
wow.
I'm just thinking, I don't know what a Gator fan would have paid for that for that moment. It's spectacular being here, and we truly missed afternoons like this.
Right. Well, it's sort of, as I've been sitting here looking and waiting, it's sort of nostalgic for me because I'm remembering attending games there, and I love seeing the scenes of the students on campus and, of course, the Swamp. Our high school actually won a state championship there back in 1998, so that was a lot of fun for us. But have a lot of family and friends that, attended Florida, and I have a niece that applied to med school there, so we're hoping that she'll get in. And as the game tomorrow, I just hope that we do, we can do a decent showing and it won't be a total blowout. I mean,
I think it's hard to say. I mean, I've been here all day, Catherine, and it's still, I think it's, everything favors Alabama. I mean, I think that goes without saying. But, you're still talking about a quarterback in his third start, and suddenly, all the things that we've been saying great about him can change if something terrible happens. You heard Steve Spurrier a minute ago. Why do teams lose big games like this? Turnovers, mistakes, poor execution. I'm not saying it can happen, but what if it does? Then you let 90,000 people into the conversation, and something good happens on the other side. And that's one thing about Dan Mullen. He is a superb play caller, and he's not going to waste an opportunity like that.
Well, it's going to be exciting no matter what. And we just hope for a great game and no serious injuries. And thanks, Paul. Have a great day and weekend. Bye.
Catherine, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. Sterling is calling next in Birmingham. Hello, Sterling.
Good to see the head ball coach on there with you. I think you and he, in my mind, have a little bit in common back in the day when you were in Birmingham and he was coaching. I couldn't stand either one of you, but anyway,
that's pretty
funny.
I
was at a little touchdown. Yeah, I was at a touchdown thing in Birmingham, and Coach Corso was speaking, and somebody started talking about the Florida game or whatever, and asked him about Spurrier, and they said, "Isn't he a little? Don't you think Coach Spurrier's a little cocky?" And Coach Corso said, Well, you know, he won the Heisman Trophy and he won a national championship as a coach. He's about 45, looks like he's 35. He's got a great-looking wife, and he's a scratch golfer. He said, heck, I'd be a little cocky, too.
You know something about Spurrier? You're right, Sterling. I'll never forget this. I used to come down to Gainesville every year. They had a group down here called the Fighting Gators Touchdown Club, and they were the greatest group of guys I've ever been around. And so it was the week after the Tennessee game when Peyton was there. So I always tried to come by practice just for a couple of minutes. And I saw Spurrier at practice, and he said, can you stick around? I said, of course. I mean, number one team in the country, blah, blah, blah. So he said, I want to show you something. I thought I was naive enough to think this was something really important, that he was going to show me some secret play or whatever. So we walked back to his office. He goes around, he opens his desk drawer, he pulls something out. He said, I want to show you this article. And I'm like going, okay. And as he puts it in front of me, I realize it is my column from last Saturday's Birmingham paper, where the headline is, Vols will finally end losing streak against Spurrier and Gators. And he said, I just want to make sure you had a copy of this. And he just cracked up. I mean, I've never known anybody that loved needling. And I played golf with Coach a number of times. And that he is the greatest competitor I've ever been around in anything, whether it's playing golf, whether it's ribbing the opponent. And, you know, it's really what made him unique. I mean, other than the fact that he was a phenomenal athlete and one of the greatest coaches in college football history.
Right. Well, I got to play golf with him once, too. But anyway, I like both of you guys now. So keep up the good work and roll tide.
Well, I'm glad you've softened on Spurrier and especially me here in my waning days. Hey, thanks so much.
All right.
That's funny. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. We have had a fantastic show with Spurrier and Tebow and so many others, and we still have one more. Chris Doering will take a look at all the games, including the one that will be played right here in Gainesville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. What an afternoon it's been in Gainesville. We've had some memorable programs already. We started in Atlanta, and last week, of course, in Fayetteville. Today, Gainesville, and Chris Doering will join us in a couple of minutes. More of your phone calls right now. Joe from Red Bay, Alabama. Hello, Joe.
How's it going, Paul Feinbaum?
Joe, you should be down here. These Gator fans would love you.
Oh, yeah! Well, you know, I've been looking at them, Paul, and they just look like a bunch of goat-foot-licking lizards. And it's good to see you got some Alabama fans that finally showed up.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know if I've seen a show where Alabama fans wasn't present, but nobody's worried about those. I hate to break their hearts, but, you know, right now all they're cheering for is just please don't beat us too bad, Alabama. I mean, that's the only thing they can cheer for, Paul, because this game is not going to be close. It's not. It ain't going to be close. And I tell you what, another thing up in Happy Valley, it's going to be happy for Penn State tomorrow night on Auburn. You know, nobody worries about them Barners. But, hey, back where you're at right now, Paul, you need to turn around and tell those Alabama fans, hey, I love you. Thank you for showing up. And you
I just talked to a couple from Huntsville, Alabama. I've seen a few Bama fans. Joe, thanks for the call. Chris Doering joining us from studio. Chris Doering, he played at the University of Florida, excuse me. Chris, welcome to the program. Chris played, of course, for Coach Steve Spurrier, who was with us a minute ago. Chris, you should be down here, man. I know you live here, but
I just left and right when you were coming in, so I'm past you in the air, man.
Well, it's good to have you. Let's talk about this game. Not that you haven't done that already this week, let's get your assessment of what is Florida's route for an upset.
Well, I think first and foremost, it starts with Florida's defense. You got to be able to slow down Alabama. And as we'll talk about tonight on SEC Now, I thought Miami made Alabama's offense look better than they actually were. I still believe there's going to be some learning curve for Bryce Young taking over at the quarterback spot, for all the weapons around him trying to replace all the production from last year. But you've got to be able to force some turnovers, not make it as easy as Miami made it look. Secondly, you got to be able to score with Alabama. You go back and look last year, the two teams that gave them the biggest hard was Florida and Ole Miss, and they had the ability to hold serve offensively. So you can't waste possessions. You can't get down in the red zone and settle for field goals. You got to be able to score touchdowns. But I really believe that this is going to be the most hyped atmosphere in the Swamp for a long time. I know Bama's played in front of places like this with a bunch of crowds that are going crazy, but I think this is the most anticipated game in Gainesville in about 20 years.
That's such an amazing comment there, and I've heard other people talk about people that have written here, people, broadcasters from here, and you. And I think about that, Chris, and I'll state the obvious. Florida has two national championships in that period. So why is this so unique? Was it the fact that Florida was the hunted team all those years, and now it's reversed on Alabama?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I think there's also the situation where you have the defending national champion coming to town, who's the number one team in the country, who has the greatest coach in the history of college football on the other sideline. And, oh, by the way, you never get to see Alabama in Gainesville. So for all of those reasons, I think this is the most hot ticket that we've seen in the Swamp in a long time. And I know my daughter's a sophomore at the University of Florida. The students are going to be out there early. They're going to be loud. And it's going to be the old Swamp atmosphere that we used to have back in the 90s when I was there.
Yeah, I mean, already today, I mean, the enthusiasm for this game is closing in on DEFCON 1. Chris Doering joining us. Chris, and we talked to Coach Spurrier about it, and everyone tries to describe the Swamp. You played here. You were an All-American, one of the great players in the school's history. I know they were behind you, but what makes it so unique for those Alabama, and what makes it so complicated for the opposing team?
Well, I'll say this, Paul. Before I was all of those things you said, I was a fan that grew up in Gainesville. I was the son of two parents that graduated from the University of Florida. I was born and bred coming to these games as one of those people in the stands. And as you guys know, the stands are right on top of the field. The bench Alabama players will be sitting on is about 5 feet from where the students are sitting. It's a unique construction where you walk in from the street level and you go down to the field. It's incredibly hot there, just like a Swamp is. It's very still down at that part of the field. And I think the enthusiasm of the fans, the anticipation for getting back to where Florida's used to be, where they had the chance to go to Atlanta every year. They were playing for SEC championships. They were playing for national championships. This is the moment that Florida fans have been waiting for a long time. They let one get away last year in Atlanta. This year, they do not let Alabama off the hook. They give them their first loss here in September and set them reeling for the rest of the year.
Okay, so let's get to the action here, Chris. I'm hearing a lot of optimism coming from you. I understand where you're from, but you're also a highly regarded analyst. So is this going to be the moment? Is this the time that Florida does upset Alabama and Nick Saban's run starts getting under attack?
I believe it is. You know, again, I go back to that Miami game. Their offense is not as good as Miami's defense made them look. Florida's going to make them earn it defensively. Ironically, it's going to be Todd Grantham's side of the ball, the much maligned Todd Grantham from last year, that's going to win this game for Florida. They're going to create issues for Bryce Young. They played very vanilla last week against USF, didn't show much, but I think they're going to mix up a lot of coverages. They're going to bring pressures. They're going to drop back into coverage, and they're going to force the young quarterback into making some mistakes. And then on the other side, this is Emory Jones' opportunity. I have a hard time believing that Anthony Richardson is going to be able to go. He's not a guy that's going to stand in the pocket. He's an explosive player. And everybody that knows how a hamstring pull feels when you're trying to come back from that, it is not easy. You can't get that done in 7 days. So I have a hard time believing he's going to be able to go. The weight of this offense is going to fall on Emory Jones' shoulder. And I think he did a better job than fans gave him credit for the last couple of weeks. He's run the offense efficiently. He's made some good throws. The problem I saw, Paul, was that he made the same mistakes against USF that he did the week before against FAU. He's got to eliminate the poor reads. He's got to eliminate locking in on one wide receiver. And he's got to eliminate throwing the football late like he did in both of those interceptions on the deep over routes against FAU and USF.
Chris Doering with us. Chris, give us a final score here in the Swamp.
Oh, man, I think it's going to be up in the 40s. I think Florida's going to be able to score with them. I'm going to take Florida 45, Alabama 42. That was a subliminal slip there.
Chris, pick Florida to win 45-42. Alabama going down, according to one of the all-time greats from the University of Florida. Thank you, Chris. I know these Alabama fans are really happy with Doering's prediction.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.